Tonight on Coast to Coast, we're going to talk about something that you all know about, the law of attraction, but we're going to tie it into near-death experience with Nancy Dannison when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Now, until 1994, Nancy Dannison lived the life of a very successful trial lawyer with a national health law practice in a large Midwestern law firm. Then she died during an invasive radiological procedure before surgery, plunging her farther into the afterlife than previously thought survivable, way farther. She returned to share her memories of what she learned in heaven. Nancy was a National Merit Finalist in a Catholic high school where she graduated magna cum laude. She earned a Bachelor of Science degree in biology and chemistry, magna cum laude as well, a Bachelor of Arts degree in psychology, and a doctor in jurisprudence. Here's Nancy Dannison back on Coast to Coast. Hi, Nance. How are you today?
Super. How are you?
I'm doing great. You're still in Columbus, aren't you?
Yes.
You know, I've got a live show there on May 11th at the Lincoln Theater.
I just heard that. That's fantastic.
You got to come by somehow.
I'm going to see if I can.
It's a Saturday right before Mother's Day, but it's a great time. I'm told it's a beautiful renovated theater now.
Oh, that's the Lincoln Theater. We call it the Ohio Theater.
The Lincoln Theater, that's right. How far away is Columbus from Cleveland?
About 2.5 hours.
Well, that's not a bad drive for folks from Cleveland to come into. It's
oh,
a nice
no.
drive.
People do it all the time.
Yeah, plus it's May. It's pretty. It's nice.
Yeah, it'll be a great drive.
That's good. So what have you been up to since we last talked?
Well, I did this book, and I've been doing a lot of radio shows.
Create a new reality.
Yes.
Yeah, tell us about how you tie in the law of attraction with this near-death experience, which I want you to tell us about again.
Well, I tie it in because while I was in the afterlife, I was told that humans had this like misunderstanding or misinterpretation of how manifesting works. And manifesting is the process by which our Creator created the universe. And I had no idea what they were talking about, but I was told that, there was this error out there, and I didn't know what it was until I saw the promo, DVD for the book The Secret. And I was watching that, and I thought, oh, that's it. People are calling something the law of attraction, and they think that that's, how they create their lives and that they can attract things to themselves. And that's the mistake that's been made. It's a misunderstanding about our innate spiritual power of manifesting. And when I was, after I completed my sojourns, my adventures in the afterlife in 1994, at the very end, I kept saying, somebody ought to tell those people. Somebody ought to go down there and tell those people. And I didn't mean me, but
right.
Here I am, going back into my body. And so I feel like I was given this mission to, in part, tell everybody what I experienced in the afterlife, and in part to explain the spiritual phenomenon of manifesting as I learned it in the afterlife.
Now, the law of attraction, of course, is one of the biggest mysteries, I think, of the universe. Not a lot of people are aware of it. How to use it, what to do. But as you said, the perception is that we can manifest things with our own abilities. And are you saying that's not the case, or we got to try better?
Both, actually, now that you mention it. We do have an innate spiritual ability to manifest our own physical life events and opportunities. And we have an equal ability to do that, but so many of us don't remember it. And so they need a memory trigger. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote my books, is so that people could read them and go, oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember doing that in the afterlife. I remember we can do that. And, kind of give them a little goose in the derriere about how to use their spiritual powers.
Give us your definition now of the law of attraction.
The way I understand it from the books I've read is that there's this theory that we can use our human thoughts, tune them to a specific frequency, the frequency of something that we want. Let's say we want a new car. So we turn our thoughts to the frequency of a new car, and those thoughts will be magnetic and will attract that new car to us.
And it doesn't happen?
No.
But some people have been able to use this the right way, don't you think?
I think that they are manifesting, which does work, works every single time.
So you're saying manifesting is different from the law of attraction?
Yes. And the biggest difference I would see is that with the law of attraction, is built on the core principle that we've all learned. You know, every one of us has grown up with the idea that we are separate from God. God's up there in heaven, we're down here. You know, we need to pray in order to get what it is that we want. We're subservient to this almighty superpower in the sky, and it can control our lives and give us what we want or punish us for things we don't even know we've done. And that belief is instilled at birth or before. And everything the humans think, everything that they create, everything that they do is all based on that core principle of God's up there, I'm down here, I'm separate, I'm subservient. And that's what the law of attraction is based on. It's based on the idea that we have to use something to get what we want. And the something that people have come up with is this idea that our thoughts are magnetic and can attract to us what we want from out of the universe or from God or the great eBay in the sky.
But you're saying that's not the case.
That is not the case, according to everything that I lived and learned while I was in the afterlife. And, you know, I got to tell you, before I died, I was a Catholic. I had 12 years of Catholic school, 6 years of Methodist college. I believed pretty much everything that my religion had taught me,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I thought I would experience in the afterlife. But it wasn't anything like that.
What happened? What happened to you in the afterlife? And tell us about the death itself. How did you die under this procedure?
I was in the hospital for removal of a cancerous tumor in my right breast,
okay.
And, you know, not all cancerous tumors present as lumps that you can feel. And so, ladies, get your mammograms.
So, yeah, sometimes they're very deep into the tissue.
Well, not only that, they can take the form of just, you know, scattered cells, but those can show up on mammogram if they have formed calcium deposits. And that's what was the case with me.
Okay.
I had a bunch of calcium deposits, and those were suspicious of cancerous tumors because when cancer cells die, they sometimes leave behind calcium deposits.
But it masked it, didn't it?
It does. It masks things. So I was having the surgery to have, you know, this whole area removed, and because there was no lump for the surgeon to feel, a radiologist had to stick, do a procedure called a needle localization. And so they use a needle, stick it into the center of the tumor so that the surgeon knows, you know, cut around here. And so that's what the radiologist was doing. She was inserting this needle using a mammogram.
I've never
heard of that. So she'd stick this, needle with a wire in it into my breast and then squish me down in the mammogram. And yeah, we went around and around with that about 8 times.
Were you knocked out during this?
No.
You were awake?
I was awake.
Oh.
And she had given me a local anesthetic on the skin, but that was it. And during, the mammograms themselves, I was getting really sick. I was sweating, and my heart was racing, and I was starving. I felt like I was going to pass out. I kept saying, "I'm sick," and she just kept ignoring me. So, but she got the needle in, and
how long was the needle?
I don't think I looked down to see, but
bigger than an injection, though, right? I would guess.
I don't know. Like I say, I didn't want to know, but it was large enough to have a wire inside of it.
Okay.
So she pulled the needle out, left the wire in my breast, and then the radiologist and the radiology technician left the room to get the last set of mammogram films developed. And while they were gone, I died.
Would you have a heart attack or something?
No, I had as best we can figure out from my symptoms, a combination of anaphylactic shock, an allergic reaction to the anesthetic.
Oh, my God.
And I figured that out later because the next time I had a local anesthetic shot, the same thing started to happen, and they resuscitated me. And then the other part of it was that extremely low blood sugar, both of which can give you, you know, enough shock to die.
Sure.
So I got out of my body, and I went into the light, and I had this most amazing experience of my life. But they were life-changing.
Now, what was so different in the afterlife from what you were taught in either Catholic school or catechism classes or the church?
Everything.
Really?
Now, the one thing that was what I expected and was consistent is the feeling of unconditional love and acceptance and bliss.
Mm-hmm.
But the degree is unbelievable. It's not anything you could even imagine in human life. That intense feeling of acceptance, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've thought, no matter who you've hurt, you are not judged in the afterlife. You are totally accepted.
So unlike the church, which talks about hell and damnation and heaven and all that.
And, yeah, going to purgatory and, yeah. But none of that exists, at least not in the afterlife I visited.
Right. Well, the heaven part might.
Well, not really, because the heaven that I was expecting was kind of like a glorified earth. You know, this better. And it's nothing like that. Heaven is not a place. We do not have bodies there. It's a state of mind or a level of awareness where we have access to all the knowledge that God, or what I call Source, has. We can focus our attention and intention to learn anything we want. And so I spent a lot of time doing that.
And Source to you is God to us.
Yes.
Okay. And I should say
Source
us.
Is what I call God, Yahweh, Allah, the Creator, the Supreme Being. And the reason for that is because the Source that I intimately experienced in the afterlife was nothing like a being, completely nothing like a human being. It's the way I experienced it was as this huge energy field.
Mm-hmm.
That has personality and character traits and intelligence, and its overriding driving force is unconditional love.
You've stated that in this experience, this after-death experience, that you were able to observe the future, and it's not that pleasant.
I saw not only the future, but I saw the entire development of the universe. I saw the universe being created, well, twice. I saw the universe being created from start to finish, and I saw at a separate time a documentary of how religions developed on Earth by watching Earth's creation through its future to its eventual demise.
Did you see the Big Bang? If you do, explain it to us, because nobody else has been able to.
I did, and in fact, the Big Bang is kind of a apt description for what I saw. One of the things that most surprised me about the afterlife and watching creation is that everything that exists exists within this energy field that I call Source. So what we call outer space in the universe is in Source's mind. What we call planets and stars is in Source's mind. The whole universe was created by Source. Kind of, I call it expelling mental energy. You know how when you take a test like a test or maybe a performance on the stage where you're really into it and you're spending a lot of mental energy to accomplish a goal? That's kind of the sensation I had when I was experiencing Source create the universe. So Source expelled this mental energy in kind of a big bang. But it wasn't in the form of planets and stars and, you know, people and rocks and things. It was just energy going out into, you know, part of Source's mind. In the same way that we create dreams mm-hmm. in our own mind, so we're creating little universes, we call them dreams. Well, Source's universe is everything that, you know, humans have come to call the universe.
Well, how do you know that you weren't having some kind of dream in your after-death experience as opposed to something that was really happening to you?
Well, I've had a lot of dreams. It wasn't anything like that. And while I was in the afterlife, I was told, I mean, I was given these, like, downloads of knowledge. I call them knowings because I felt knowing when I received them. And I received knowings that this is the afterlife. And I remembered. I remembered being there before I was in Nancy. And I was home. I had this intense feeling of, oh, my God, I'm finally home. Much, 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 much more intense than anything we've ever felt in human life.
Was this euphoric for you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, very much.
And when you came out of it, when you came back, first of all, I'm curious, in the hospital setting, were there medical professionals all around you?
The radiologist and radiology technician had come back, but they had walked right past me.
They didn't even realize you were dead?
Well, I don't know exactly when they walked in because I wasn't there. But no, they did not. And in fact, you know, when I was in the afterlife, I saw my body down in the mammography room.
Right,
you know,
right.
I was in the afterlife and I was looking down and seeing it, and it didn't look dead to me. Like, it wasn't, you know, hunched over or anything. I was sitting in a chair, or my body was sitting in a chair, upright, head upright, arms on the arms of the chair. And that's what I saw, and that's what they saw. But sometime after they came back into the room, I started going back into my body. I could feel...
On your own?
On my own.
So you were basically reviving yourself?
Yes. My spiritual self, my soul, my essence was fighting.
So they didn't have paddles? They weren't beating on your chest or anything like that?
No. After a while, I was able to use Nancy's mouth, and I said to the radiologist, I passed out. And she came over and looked at me. She goes, do you know who you are? And I went, oh, yeah, I know who I am. She goes, do you know who I am? I said, well, you look familiar, but I can't place you. And the radiologist was not only my radiologist. She was a client.
Well,
so I knew her. Known her for years.
You mean a legal client of yours?
Yes.
At what point did she ever realize that you had died?
When I said, you look familiar, but I can't place you, she knew I had been unconscious, and she called a nurse from out in the hallway to come in and take my blood pressure. And the first blood pressure reading didn't register. The second one was 60 over palp.
That's nothing.
Yeah. And it took a half an hour for my blood
pressure
to come
to normal. Did the doctor perform the extraction procedure on your breast?
Yeah.
They did take the lump out.
Yes. And I was surprised. I thought, holy moly, you know, I'm just dead here.
And there you are.
Seems to care.
And so they're operating still. Hold on for a second, Nancy. We'll be back with more in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We're with Nancy Dennison, and we're talking about her work, Create a New Reality. How important was this near-death experience for you, Nancy, in order for you to get to this mindset that you have right now?
Essential. There's no way on earth that I could have come up with what I learned in the afterlife. It was so completely different from everything that I'd been taught. The most different part of it is, you know, as I was saying before, we all grow up with this idea that we're separate from God. Well, what I was taught directly by God, by Source, is that just like the whole universe is within its mind, human bodies are within its mind. The humans are like dream characters. And we, the personalities that we love, that we hold dear, that we think of as ourselves, is actually the personality of the soul inside the body. And souls are part of Source's own consciousness and self-awareness. So it works kind of like the same way our dreams do. You know, we create this dreamscape, and there are characters in it, and we're always one of the characters in it. and we're inside our dream character experiencing the dream world through that character. Well, that's what Source does. It puts itself inside each character or thing or object or plant or whatever in the universe so that it can experience the physical world it imagined.
Now, are you saying that manifesting is more powerful than the laws of attraction?
I'm saying the law of attraction doesn't exist, and that manifesting is the power by which Source has created the physical world. And the reason I know the law of attraction doesn't exist is because, you know, when I was watching creation and I saw Source expel this energy, you know, this big bang of energy, and I watched evolution and I watched Source create what we would call the laws of nature, you know, the law of gravity, the law of chemical bonding, the laws of physics. You know, I saw Source impose these rules for how the energy was to evolve and to combine and create things. And I saw that there was no law of attraction created.
Now, was that something, though, that just changed your mind, crushed you, because you came back with a different thought pattern?
It completely changed my mind. It blew my mind. Completely blew my mind. Blew my life up.
Did it challenge you to change things?
Yes, and it was a very strange few years after I came back into the body. You know, right away I knew that I couldn't continue to live. I'd been, you know, a trial lawyer in a big law firm, 270 attorney law firm. And, you know, I had a national practice in health law, and I was traveling all over the country speaking. And, you know, I was driven, you know, to be a success. That was what I was programmed to do from the time I was a little kid. And I learned in the afterlife that none of that's important. I mean, you know, literally, you can't take it with you. And I started changing my life. Well, the first thing I had to do was, in my mind, I had to leave my law firm because I couldn't continue that life. Because I wasn't that person anymore. You know, I was a completely different person. So I left my law firm, went out on my own as a solo practitioner, and it took me about 7 years to come to grips with the new spiritual truths I'd been given and to try to reconcile them with what I'd believed my whole life and to try to figure out who I was going to be going forward. And the first 2 years, all I wanted to do was go home. You know, I wanted to go back to the afterlife, to my people, to my loved ones, to where I felt like I was home.
You missed the other side.
I did.
Huh. See, I always tell people, let's not be in a rush to go to the other side.
And that's good advice. I was in the afterlife when I first got there, and I was just in the light kind of hanging out by myself, I missed human life. I missed chocolate. I miss chocolate so much. I miss the fact that I wasn't going to be eating anymore, that I wasn't going to feel the sun on my skin or the wind blowing through my hair or somebody hugging me. You know, there are wonderful things about human life that we can't get anywhere else.
No,
so we should enjoy it.
They say that the law of attraction also creates karma. What do you think of that? And do you acknowledge the law of attraction does exist?
No, the law of attraction does not exist.
Uh-huh. That's pretty dramatic to say that.
Well, it's a human theory. You know, if you start from the idea that we're separate from God and that God's the one that's got all the power to make physical matter, you've got to come up with a theory for how we get that power. How do we get our hands on it? But if you start from the premise that we are God, see, I learned in the afterlife that, you know, we are part of Source's own consciousness. Therefore, we have the same power to create a universe just on a smaller scale. I mean, it's the same power, just, you know, a weaker form of it. But we've got plenty enough power to create a physical world for ourselves. And that's what we do.
What is conscious manifesting?
Conscious manifesting is when we realize that we have this power and we decide to use it deliberately to create a specific event or opportunity in our lives. And I learned in the afterlife that the formula is simple. You focus your attention and intention on what you want, and you create it.
Now, with manifesting, you make things happen the way you want them to, right?
You make things happen the way you believe they should be.
What makes them happen?
The spiritual power of manifesting. The same way the source, created the universe by just thinking it, imagining it. We can think and imagine and intend to have specific events in our lives.
Are you getting any help from any source to make these things happen?
Don't need it. But we do co-create. None of us lives in this human life alone. There are others around us, and there are other people involved in the events of our life. So we co-manifest with those other people the events and scenarios of our lives. But what happens most of the time is we manifest unconsciously. We don't know that we're doing it. And what we manifest is what we truly and deeply believe about ourselves, about life, and about our place in life. And so if you have grown up with a lot of erroneous beliefs, you will manifest those beliefs into your life through the events and the opportunities and the interactions that you experience.
Now, if somebody, for example, is manifesting because they want a better job or a better career, and they get it, what caused that?
What caused it is they put their attention to the idea that they wanted a better job. And attention can take a lot of different forms. It can just be mental, just saying, I want a new job. It can also be what I call legwork. You go out and you look, see what jobs are available. You go on Monster.com and Indeed.com, and you maybe take tests to see what you would like to do, what your interests are. You figure out, what you're skilled at doing, what your background prepares you to do. You do some investigating or some studying on what would be a good job for you. That's the attention part. And you can do that, in your everyday life. The intention part is what's crucial. And that's, you have to have spiritual intention to create physical reality. You have to create a physical job that you will physically be able to accept and start working in.
See, I think manifesting and the law of attraction, I think, could be one and the same.
The big difference is where the power lies. With law of attraction, the power lies with God or the universe or the great eBay in the sky that has all the goodies. And you've got to attract them. You've got to pull those goodies to you. With manifesting, you are the power. You don't have to ask anybody for anything. You just create it yourself because you're source.
But isn't it conceivable that you could have both of them working at the same time? I mean, you don't believe in law of attraction, but maybe there's something in the universe that does these things for us, too?
Well, the universe is manifested. There's nothing in the universe that has any power. It's all manifested.
What about if two individuals are trying to accomplish the same goal? Two separate people, two different spots, but they both are trying to do the same thing. Is that manifesting?
They can both manifest the same, or they can both have turn their attention and intention to manifesting the same thing. And it depends on what the thing is. Let's say, for example, they both want to marry a particular woman. Well, unless you believe in polygamy, only one person is going to manifest that marriage. But they can both manifest it in different ways, like sequentially. One could be the first husband or wife. The other one could be the second husband or wife.
Well, let's say they want to marry this one girl. They both love her. Does she have anything to do with the manifesting?
Yes, she has to co-manifest with the two men to create a married life with them.
Well, why isn't that the law of attraction then?
How is it attracting somebody?
Well, you've got one person who's attracted to one of the two, and she picks, they pick. It's almost like magnetism.
Well, that actually is attraction. That's physical.
That's physical attraction.
Yeah, that's hormones and pheromones and animal attraction.
When we take calls next hour, Nancy, I'll be curious to see if we get calls about the law of attraction. Because, you know, I'm not sure it does not exist. I happen to be a believer that it could be there. Now, I haven't gone through what you've gone through to come up with this conclusion about manifesting. But I still think on the outside looking in that there might be a possibility to it.
Well, I think you can reconcile mm-hmm. the law of attraction with manifesting. So long as you understand that you're not really attracting something from out in the universe to you. You're creating it in your own life.
Well, I think the individual does have a lot to do with it. There's no question about it. I think we build our own situation. Events on the outside just don't do that to us. I mean, here's a case in point. Let me ask you about this tragedy that we've had since October. We had the Indonesian plane that crashed and 189 people died. And then we had this Ethiopian plane crash in March where 157 people died. Instantly, when I found out they were both Boeing 737 MAX planes, 8s, I knew that there was something to this, that there was something wrong with the planes because there are no coincidences. And the crashes to me, and I'm not a pilot, seemed similar. And sure enough, I was right. I mean, you know, they should have been grounded after the first plane crash. But when the second one happened, I think they said there's something wrong with these planes. And there are. Is that manifesting or law of attraction by knowing what happened in my case?
Okay, you're going to have to tell me how you could apply law of attraction to that. But from a manifesting standpoint,
I think I manifested this one.
Yeah, these two plane crashes were manifested by all the people on the planes and all the people connected with the planes. And one of the things I learned about our true nature as part of Source in the afterlife is we are so unconditionally loving that we will sacrifice a physical life to help someone else. And so these people on these planes sacrificed their human lives so that it would come to the attention of the right people that there's something wrong with these planes so they could be taken out of service.
You think they did this unconsciously or subconsciously? Because I don't think anybody on that plane wanted to go down and crash.
No, they didn't.
For the good of the future of these flights.
It might have been we only put part of our energy into a incarnated creature. The rest of us stays in the afterlife. So we're kind of like bilocated. The part of us that's still in the afterlife can form the intention to manifest something like those plane crashes or something like 9/11, with our mass tragedies where people, where souls have agreed to sacrifice their human lives for the greater good.
What has been around longer, manifesting or the law of attraction, which you don't believe in, of course, but
manifesting is a power that Source has. It's what created the universe. It is eternal. The law of attraction was created 100 or so years ago by humans.
By humans. And they still debate that in terms of what it is. There's no clear-cut definition or acceptance or agreement about the law of attraction. It's still argued about.
Right. But I think the the thing that has changed so much since, 100 or so years ago is science. So we know the thoughts are not magnetic. We know that thoughts are a part of consciousness.
Stay with us, Nancy. We're at the top of the hour. We'll come back and take phone calls as we talk about create a new reality.